Grace to you and peace in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You are God's laborers, and it is we who have been called to the task of caring for God's field. We are to plant the seeds of faith, to fertilize and grow that faith by feeding it with the means of grace, God's holy word, holy baptism, holy communion, the Lord's Supper. We are to tend to the crop of faith, to care for it, to nurture it, and to protect it from the enemy. We are to use the cultivating tools of the trade which Christ has given us to grow a full, ripe, strong crop of faithful Christian men and women. That's what we do here. As parents, you do that with your children when you teach them Bible lessons, take them to Sunday school, or sit with them in church. You can do that right now by sitting with them as you listen to or watch this service in your homes. You see, in doing that, you are indoctrinating them. That's what you're supposed to do. That's why we call it doctrine. You are indoctrinating them. You are indoctrinating them in the doctrines, the teachings, and the confessions of the Holy Christian Church. In doing that, you are securing them in the only faith that will save them. You are cultivating a crop that is ready for the harvest. That's what we do here. As family and friends come together in our homes and spend time with us and they see us pray, as you sit in a restaurant and you pray before your meal, people will see you do that. They will see you giving thanks to God for all of His bountiful gifts. When they see us place God where He belongs, in a place of honor and respect in our homes and in our lives, we are bearing witness to the faith. In doing that, you not only nurture your own faith, strengthen your own faith, build your own courage in the faith, but you build up the faith of those around you as well. You encourage them to display their faith as well. You are cultivating a crop that is ready for the harvest. That's what we do here. As a church, when we faithfully teach the truths and promises of God's holy word and bring those newborns in the faith to holy baptism, and through faithful obedience do what Jesus said, teach the miracles that are found in His word and in His works, teach the miracles that are found in the Lord's Supper, administering it as Jesus commanded us to do. We do that to feed them with the life-giving body and blood of our Lord. As we do that, we are cultivating a crop that is ready for the harvest. That's what we do here. That's why you should listen to and hear your pastors. They have been taught well, and they will teach you wisdom beyond measure, in which they teach you the faith that was passed down to them. They, in these days, I don't mean just the days of coronavirus, I just mean in the days of our nation, the world is trying to quench that message, to shut it down, to stifle it. But that's just what the world does. You should expect that. In fact, Jesus told his disciples to expect it. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. But in a world where the rest of the world is saying, don't listen, listen. The rest of the world is going to tell you it's all foolishness. The rest of the world is going to tell you, your pastors don't know. They don't understand. They are just not living in reality. We have to live in the real world now. Yeah, the real world is this. There is a truth that stands above all truth. It is a truth that remains true even if no one believes it. The reality is, that truth is this. Salvation comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Jesus Christ, words which faithful shepherds teach every day. Those words of Jesus have been passed down to you as an inheritance, and a heritage that surpasses any collection of wealth you can imagine. That you can imagine. Now you might say, I don't know, Pastor, when it comes to riches, I have a pretty big imagination. And I'll still tell you, it is an inheritance. A heritage that surpasses any collection of wealth you can imagine. Reject that truth, and you will never know real peace. Cherish that truth, cling to that truth, and the truth is, you will know the wonders of a place where sin and sin's effect will never touch you again. Plagues in this world are going to come and go, and they will take many forms. Right now, we know that all too well, as our lives are soiled and spoiled and sullied by a pestilence that Satan intends to use to bring down everything around us. His intention would be to even bring down the church if that were possible. Jesus has spoken. This is what he says. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus has spoken. We are laborers commanded by God. Jesus' last words, go out into the field. Right now, you can't sit here in these walls. Right now, you're not even supposed to leave the walls of your home. But sitting inside these walls here at St. John's or your own home church, that's not where the field is. That's where the food is. This is where you get fed spiritually. This is where your soul is strengthened and sustained so that you can go out and work and not grow faint and not grow weary. We need to go out to the fields. And I know at times like this that presents more of a challenge, but I would encourage you, think of ways to overcome it, because we do not know when the end comes. We need to be out in the fields. And in the fields, it's important to remember, there are always two things. There is the crop that was planted. It was placed there with care, and it is cared for. But there are also weeds. Weeds are ultimately pulled up and thrown away. Don't be the weeds. Don't rail against the Holy Spirit and the faith, that rock foundation of faith, which is your salvation, that has been built on that foundation. Faith that Jesus bestows through his means of grace. Be eager. Be eager to join the harvest that will take us home. Be eager to share that with others so that they too will join that harvest that takes us home. It's the get-tos, not the got-tos. We get to share heaven with people. All people. And especially here in Austin, Minnesota, you know full well this place has changed over the last 50 years in profound and radical ways. The nations of the world have come here, and in numbers. The nations of the world. The only continent not represented in Austin, Minnesota is Antarctic, because we don't have a zoo with penguins. Every continent, nearly every nation is represented here. It's amazing how much opportunity, how ripe the field is for the harvest. We get to share heaven with them. It's not that we've got to. We shouldn't do it under compulsion, but in gratitude that God has allowed us to join him in getting to share it. Be eager to join that harvest that takes us home. Home to a place called heaven where pain is, if it is anything, at its very best, is only a distant memory of something long past and never will return. While we wait for that day to come, the work is to be done. That work starts with reading God's word, study his promises, learn of his love, and then share that love of God with all those whom God would bring into our lives. Jesus' own words tell us what to do. You heard him in the gospel reading. Hear them again. He said, go. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have commanded you. That is why Peter said, desire God's pure word. Like newborn babies, crave milk. Have you ever been around a baby? What do they do when they want their milk? They cry. And if they don't get their milk, they cry louder. You see, they want their milk. Their milk is the only thing they want, and they are going to make sure getting their milk is the only thing you want, because they are not going to stop crying until they get what they crave. I wish I had the skills to smith words proficiently enough to teach everyone to desire God's pure word the way babies crave milk. So that in times like this, people wouldn't put God's word on the back burner and say, I got some time off, I can do other things. But that they would come and hear the word of God by whatever means we can bring it to them. In times like these that we are experiencing right now, that's what so many have done. They have walked away from God's word. So many have set it back. We'll get to it after this is past. We should run to it now. Now is and should be the time we flock to it. We cherish it. We wallow in it. Because it is the word of salvation. And it is the only word of salvation. You see, this maybe rings more true now than it could at any other time in the lives of those around us, in our own lives. Right now, death is here. It is walking among us. It always is. And it always has many names. But the one that rings out now most clearly in our lives is coronavirus. COVID-19. And it has already brought its specter of demise and darkness to so many. But the church will still proclaim, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That is the word of a holy God to his children, to you. That is the inheritance, the heritage that surpasses any collection of wealth you can imagine. The reason Peter told us to desire God's pure word as newborn babies crave milk is because if we are to seek the Lord where he may be found, for us in these days it is found in a book called the Holy Bible. God comes to us through his word. Through his word, he feeds us. He strengthens us and strengthens our faith through his word. The reason I love this job is not because of the great working hours, the working conditions all the time, or even the expensive benefits package, at least not the one this side of heaven's gates. I love this job. The reason I'm standing here right now preaching to an empty room and a camera is because I know behind that camera and behind the speaker of a radio, you're listening. You're listening, and I get to bring to God's holy, precious children grace for your soul. That's just part of my DNA. It's just something I have to do. And I love doing it. I get to bring these words of God's presence, strength, and faith-infusing power to you. John, the disciple of Jesus, he wrote these words. He says this to everyone who believed in him. He gave the right to be called children of God. We should heed the word of the Lord. This is what he said. Take these words of mine to heart. Keep them in mind. Write them down. Wear them as a headband, as a reminder. Teach them to your children and talk about them when you are at home or away, when you lie down or when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Then you and your children will live for a long time in the land. Why do I teach this stuff? I teach this stuff so that on the day of your funeral, I can be at peace. So that I can be sure. So that I can have the comfort of God's word and can share that peace and that comfort, that unmovable assurance of salvation with those who follow you. I teach this so that I can proclaim with confidence that salvation has come for you. It comes for those who believe. It comes. It comes at the very moment Satan comes with his apparition of ending. It comes for the faithful. It is the salvation won for you by a saving Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. I teach this so that I can know that you are a Christian, as God defines Christianity, not the world, and not a wayward church, but by God's definition, and that you are held in that one true Christian faith by the Word of God that leads you to eternal life. That is what the faithful church teaches. I teach these things so that I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, can know and can tell others with all confidence and full assurance. I can tell them at your funeral that you did know, and did profess Jesus of Nazareth as the Holy Christ of God, and that as you breathed your last, Jesus' face welcomed you home, home to a place where life is no longer that thing that defeats us, but is that precious gift that never ends. That's what I want you to know. That's what I want to tell others. That is what we get to share. I want everyone to know that peace that surpasses all human understanding, that really does keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord and in his promises. The promise that for those who believe and are baptized, they will be saved. That's what we do here. That is what was taught to this congregation when it was first established back in 1908. It is faithful adherence to that truth that brought this congregation to establish itself as a beacon in the darkness of a darkened world. Faithful adherence to that truth that we should ever strive to bring to the people around us. Is faithful adherence to that truth that has brought this congregation to this day, to this time, where even now under these circumstances we are still carrying that wondrous message of salvation to so many. Which is why I encourage you during these times, share these things with your neighbor. Because here we will teach faithfully and we will teach true God's word that everyone needs to hear. Jesus said, go to all nations. That starts with the people living next door. It includes the folks that have been living in Austin for decades. It includes the people that have only been living in Austin for days. It includes Maurer County. It includes the state of Minnesota. It includes the United States of America. It includes North America. It includes the whole world. A woman once wrote, "Some years ago, I was talking to a lady about driving refugees to church. She said, 'I believe that God is telling me to do it. It's like I can just hear his voice telling me.'" The woman who's writing goes on to say, "What she said next took my breath away. But I'm not going to do it," she said. "I just decided I don't want to." And she walked away. In a week where we are going to focus on going, how can we just walk away? We must proclaim Christ. crucified. We must proclaim Jesus risen from the dead. We must proclaim salvation has come and his name is Jesus. That's what we do here. Take this day, this very moment in your life, to remember. Use these events occurring around us right now as an opportunity to teach others. Start with the younger generations. They ask questions. When they ask questions like, why did you build this building that I'm standing in right now? Why did you build a building like this? Why would you invest so much effort and time and money into a place like this? You can tell them. We do this because God is good and God is faithful. You can tell them we do this to share Jesus. That's what we do here. And that is what we will continue to do here for the generations to come until Christ comes. That is what we will do here. Amen.